Mr. Biden says his team will reinstate the U.S. as a global leader, countering terrorism, extremism, the climate crisis and nuclear proliferation. There are a number of firsts on the president-elect slate, and they include Avril Haines, who will be the first woman to serve as National Intelligence Director, Alejandro Mayorkas, who will be the first Latino and immigrant to lead the Homeland Security Department, and Mr. Biden's choice for National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan. He'll be the youngest person to coordinate the National Security Team in decades.
Joe Biden also spoke of the importance of his climate envoy. Former Secretary of State John Kerry is saying it's a signal to world leaders that the issue is a priority. It's the first time a member of the National Security Council will have to be tackling the climate crisis full time.
The president-elect unveiled his foreign and security teams as Pennsylvania certified his victory in the state, despite a lawsuit attempting to block it. With a margin of over 80,000 votes, Mr. Biden officially flipped the red state to blue. Another rebuke to efforts by the Trump campaign to overturn the election results. Both Nevada and North Carolina also certified their results, cementing wins for Joe Biden and Donald Trump, respectively.
And after a two-week delay, the president-elect's transition team wasted no time in reaching out to the outgoing administration. The White House has agreed to start daily intelligence briefings for Mr. Biden, and yet another sign that the Trump government is on its way out. But the incumbent is still refusing to concede he lost. Donald Trump has again taken to Twitter, this time saying the General Services Administration doesn't determine the next president.
Well, Mr. Trump made a brief... Mr. Trump made a brief appearance to pardon Corn the Turkey, a long-standing White House Thanksgiving tradition. A second turkey named Cobb was also saved from becoming dinner. The birds will both retire to their new home in Iowa State University.
All right, for more on this, Simon Marks.
Well, for more, Simon Marks joins us from Washington, D.C. Simon, you know, how certain is Joe Biden that the nominees for his foreign and security teams will be confirmed, given, of course, the control of the Senate is still very much in the air, at least until the runoffs in January?
Yeah, that's absolutely true, Adam. And of course, if the Democrats do not succeed in those two runoff elections in Georgia, then the Republicans will have a majority in the Senate. Look, I think that Joe Biden has carefully selected the members of this team to enhance the possibility of confirmability. He could have gone for more controversial choices. For example, instead of Antony Blinken as his nominee for Secretary of State, he could have gone for Susan Rice, the former National Security Advisor. But that would have been a very, very tough confirmation battle. And I think the Biden transition team is calculating that by going for someone with broader appeal and less baggage in the form of Antony Blinken, that's a nomination that is likely to say through on Capitol Hill, regardless of the array of political forces after those two runoff elections. He's also being careful about who he puts into positions that are not necessarily required to be brought before the Senate for confirmation. And so we're still waiting to see, for example, how he fills out some of those positions. And maybe he will choose to fill some of those positions that don't require confirmation with slightly more controversial and less confirmable appointees. But the nub of the president-elect's message today was that he was appealing to the Senate and to Republicans in it and saying, look, I want to go back to an era where we can work across party lines to get things done in the interests of the American public. That, of course, was a hallmark of Joe Biden's proposals during the election campaign. I mean, the hostage to fortune is we simply don't know whether it's going to be possible for the two sides to bury the polarization that currently dominates American politics and to return to the comity that Joe Biden was used to on Capitol Hill in the 70s, the 80s and the 90s. That all seems like a very distant dream at the moment, but he's hoping Adam and Julie to try and revive it.
And Simon, and Mr. Biden took pains to highlight the importance of his nominee for climate envoy. I'm sure probably one person that our viewers don't need to Google his name. John Kerry, tell us more about that.
I know, it's fascinating, isn't it, to see John Kerry coming back to assume a frontline role in the Biden administration, that of climate change czar, not a position that is going to require Senate confirmation, given the fact that John Kerry is a very senior figure within the Democratic ranks. Not just a former Secretary of State, but of course a former presidential candidate who was beaten in his quest for the presidency back in 2004 by George W. Bush. He's being given a cabinet-level appointment here. He's going to be sitting as part of the president's National Security Council. He will be the man who negotiates America's re-entry to the Paris Climate Change Accords. And speaking at that event in Wilmington, Delaware, alongside the president-elect today, John Kerry congratulated his new boss for prioritizing the issue.
The whole world must come together. You're right to rejoin Paris on day one. And you're right to recognize that Paris alone is not enough. At the global meeting in Glasgow 1 year from now, all nations must raise ambition together, or we will all fail together. And failure is not an option.
So John Kerry there very much committing that he's on board, not just for the short term, but for the long term with regard to bringing the United States back to the table for climate change conversations. And of course, that has huge foreign policy implications, given the nature of the climate change discussion that goes on with China, with India and with other major interlocutors for the president-elect and now climate czar John Kerry.
Yeah, no doubt. World leaders are going to be, of course, relieved that the U.S. is re-engaging on climate change in the Paris Accord. Thank you very much for that, Simon. Simon Marks from Washington, D.C.